Well, good morning, friends. Trust everyone is very well this morning. So, of course, we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. It's an amazing opportunity for us to really, you know, remember the fact that as believers, we carry God's Holy Spirit inside of us. It's right here, and He's left it for a specific reason. And so as the series unfolds, I get the privilege, of course, of preaching out part one of this four-week series. But God, we thank You that Your Holy Spirit, Your fire is going to burn inside of us even more, Father, as we mine our way through the series, Lord, so that we can be more effective in the area of making disciples. It's a beautiful thing that Jesus has given us the opportunity to do that. So, four-week series, I'm very excited. This morning, I get the opportunity, the privilege of preaching out part one of the series. And just so that we can make sure that we understand at the beginning what the purpose of the series is, I'm going to give us an overview of this. One of the last things Jesus said while on earth was that we should go and make disciples. That's right, disciples. Are you making disciples? Are we making disciples? Do we feel ill-equipped, maybe, to make disciples? Not too sure how to do it? This is not my phone, but it's making a funny noise. Dismiss. There we go. Sorry about that. Do we feel ill-equipped or maybe not sure how to? Our new four-week series called Changing Soil will help teach us how we can begin the discipleship process with one another and, of course, with those that are unsaved. So week one, my week, which soil am I on? Very important question. Week two, praying like disciple makers. Week three, engaging the lost. That sounds like it's going to be amazing. There's going to be some practical stuff there, I'm sure. And week four, once I've found somebody to disciple, once we've established who it is that God has placed in my life, in your life, that He wants you to disciple, what next? So when the title of this message was announced, Changing Soil, it brought me immediately to the thinking of my swimming pool at home. And we know who here has a swimming pool? Who has a wonderful? So there's quite a few of us. So you'll know that the filtration system in your swimming pool is incredibly important, because without it functioning properly, the pool's not going to look like we want it to look like, nice and clean and inviting. And of course, you know that there's weekly backwashes that are required. So you've got a backwash, and often after you do a backwash, maybe you find that the creepy is still not working properly. It only works for a few hours or a day or two. Then you've got to investigate why. So there's a second part of the process that uncovers that and kind of gets things working, and it's called an open top backwash. That's when you take the top off of the filter and you put it onto backwash, and you stir up the sand that's inside of there. And it's amazing what comes out of it. There's like so much dirt that you thought wasn't there, and it's inhibiting the flow of the water and everything else. So that's an open-top backwash. And then, of course, that still doesn't work. There's a sand change that happens. So we're talking about changing soil. And the reason that I'm kind of introducing it in this way is because sometimes we got to check our heart condition. Like, what is our revelation on actually what we're doing here? What has God got planned for us? How can we be more effective with being more like Jesus, with building His church in the way that He's actually He's called us to build it? And of course, one of the very important things to ask ourselves is to you know, the first step, I guess, of solving any problem is understanding what the problem is. If we don't identify what the issue is, or even understand that we do have a problem in this area, then we're never going to be able to fix it. That's the truth. Being self-aware is very important. Being self-aware in our relationship with Jesus, where are we? What is our heart condition here? Being truthful to ourselves. If we, you know, if we're going to be truthful to anyone, it's got to be being truthful to ourselves first, you know? Where are we with regards to our relationship with Jesus? And that will determine, I think, how effective we are in making disciples of the lost. So we're going to look at a passage this morning, and it's Matthew 13. And it's a great passage. And if you got your Bible, I'll give you the exact verse now. But you know it well. I know it well. Being through kids' ministry in my early days, I've heard it many times. But there's a specific reason that we're mentioning it here, because it starts to uncover what the purpose of this series is. In other words, checking our heart condition. Why are we here, friends? What is the purpose of us being here today? Are we here simply to fill a function, maybe? To, you know, tick a box? Or are we here to discover more about what God has planned for us in our lives? About the reason He's given each one of us multiple gifts and talents. So if you have a Bible, then we're going to look at Matthew 13, verse 3 to 9. And of course, it's the parable of the sower. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering his seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop of 160 and 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. So this morning, we all have ears, and God wants to speak to us as He spoke to His disciples in person. Because He's saying, whoever has ears, let us hear. So really, this passage points to four different heart conditions. And we're going to look at those four now. And I want to encourage you, in each one of those four, or certainly the first three, try and think of somebody in your life that may be in that particular place. And at the end of this message, we're going to have an opportunity to pray for them so that they too have fruitful hearts. Maybe it's even somebody here this morning, and you can identify that inside of yourself. So the first heart condition is the path. And the path really is represented by somebody that is not interested. Maybe you've shared the word with somebody, try to introduce Jesus, and it's like that they turn away immediately. And in fact, in that passage early on, it says that that Satan snatches the seed away, snatches it away, so that it doesn't even have a chance to even take a small root. Maybe you can identify somebody in your life that you know and think of their names that's like that. The second heart condition is the rocks. And it really represents being too shallow, or certainly where the seed is falling. Yeah, often a person is to have received the word. Maybe there's a certain joy that they, you know, that's coming out of this thing. And maybe they've gone out and they've gone to a bookshop and they've even bought their own Bible and a cover for their Bible and embroidered their names, and this is the start of something new. But unfortunately, the joy doesn't last, when maybe God doesn't fix everything that they've expected to be fixed in the first 30 seconds. And so the joy seems to evaporate from their lives. Can you think of somebody in your life that may be like that? The third one is the thorns. And really here, it is represented by somebody who hasn't necessarily drifted completely away, but seems to have one foot in and one foot out. And if there's no more uncomfortable place in our faith walk than being lukewarm, having one foot in and one foot out. Maybe it's because the cares of the world and the worries seem to overwhelm them. Maybe it's because making money takes a higher preference than devoting the gifts and talents to bringing the good news of who Jesus is to somebody else. Jesus gave this thorny area a name. He called it unfruitful. I don't think any of us want to be unfruitful in any areas of our lives, do we? Hey? None of us. Of course not. We want to be fruitful in all areas. And of course, can you think of anyone in your life that may be represented by this heart condition? And I want to encourage us as well that if we have shared the word to any people like this, and you know, family members or whatever it is, and of course we're doing our own self-checks here on our own hearts very much, don't feel despondent, because Jesus never gave up on us, and he's never given up on anyone, and he never will. There's always opportunities to change these things. That's the honest truth. Let's, of course, remember to pray for our own situations, our own heart conditions, and for those of the people that we have influence over. Some people, of course, and this is the good soil, the fourth type, which equals being fruitful. And it seems to overflow in some people's lives. It seems that soil is so fertile that it really just overflows. Maybe you here this morning, as a result of the overflow of somebody else's faith in your life, they've invited you along, and they want you to experience that beautiful relationship with Jesus. Maybe that's you this morning. And we want to say thank you to those people, of course, for the fruitful hearts that they have. And of course, thank you to the Holy Spirit, to God's Holy Spirit. So we're going to continue to read. And we're going to look at 18 to 23 now. It's really just to establish what I've been saying in those four heart conditions. But nobody says it like Jesus. Nobody says it like him. He doesn't just give us a parable, but he gives us the explanations of the parable. So let's look at that. Verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means, says Jesus. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed that was sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have not taken root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth chokes the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a yield 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. I think all of us want to produce a yield of 100, 60, and 30 times in all the areas of our lives. Don't we want to do that? In our businesses, we want these things to multiply and to grow so that it's producing seed which is going to be planted inside other people's hearts. So I've got 3 points. And I think, you know, when we preach here at Grace Life, we try and give points, because it gives us something to kind of hang our coats on. Something to say, okay, that's the point. There's the point. That's something that we can take home with us. So I have 3 points that I've put together here that we're going to get to understand a little bit more about this. And so when the seed lands, it can land in a fruitful place. So point one is, we want to be on good, fruitful soil. Our own hearts, of course. So the 4 areas, I think, that we can determine by this parable are heart conditions of not interested, too shallow, too busy, and faithful. So those are the 4 conditions. We don't set out at the beginning of our relationship with Jesus expecting it to last only a couple of months or a few weeks, do we? Hey, of course not. We set out in our relationship with Jesus in the same way that we set out in our relationships, in our marriages. I had the privilege of being invited to a beautiful wedding a couple of weeks ago. It was amazing, and I'm sure we've all been to, and the bride and the bridegroom turn to each other, and they're beautifully dressed. The bride has been prepared for her groom, and you know, they extend their hands, and they exchange rings, and they exchange vows. And I didn't hear the bridegroom leaning over to the bride saying, "We're going to give it a shot for a few months here. Hey, maybe 6 months, we'll see how it goes." Of course not. They love each other. They're entering into this thing for life. And unfortunately, we know that, you know, things happen and so many marriages end up broken. And we want to pray for our friends that, you know, have turmoil in their relationships. As long as you keep God in the center of that thing, His Holy Spirit determining how you operate in your relationship, the chances of it breaking are zero, really. So always place the Holy Spirit between, God's Holy Spirit between us. He's left it for a specific reason. So I think the thorny area is a little bit trickier because sometimes we can fool ourselves. We can fool ourselves and convince ourselves that actually our businesses, for example, are more important than God. Making money is more important than God. When the opportunity comes for your children maybe to have to do sports on a Sunday, and then it takes preference over building faith in your local house. We want to look at a heart condition there and say, you know, would God be saying, would Jesus be saying, yes, it's more important that you do this, that build faith in people in your local house. So of course, we can't fool ourselves. We shouldn't fool ourselves. We can fool ourselves, but we shouldn't. So the thorny ground can be tricky. In fact, Jesus says it like this. He says, choked, worried, deceitful, and ultimately unfruitful. There's really only one option that Jesus points out that's going to be the right option. And of course, that's option 4. And that's the faithful option in what God has given us. And it leads me to a point of the point 2, which is multiplication. You see, when we're faithful with what God has given us, there's multiplication that comes out of our lives. You know, it's fruitful soil. And of course, fruitful soil multiplies. So good soil multiplies. Point 2. How do you know if you planted in good soil? Very, very good question. I'm very glad that you asked me that question. Thank you so much. Save me asking you. How do we know if we planted in good soil? And of course, we could look at, you know, some answer like that could be, how many people have we invited into relationship with Jesus? You know, are we inviting people? How many people have we prayed for? Hey, Father, just bring them into relationship. I want to invite you along to Grace Life, to come and experience God's Holy Spirit. And of course, what comes through that often is salvation and beautiful things through that. I'm here because somebody invited me to Grace Life many years ago. Somebody invited me to Grace Life. And at that stage, it was a small church of 20 people. And, you know, thank you, Jesus, to that person. Why does Jesus put such an emphasis on passing on faith into other people? Because he loves us. He loves us, each one of us. Not just here, but he loves the lost too, equally. They just don't know it yet. There's great opportunity for us to multiply in this area. And I thought of a restaurant scenario when I was thinking about speaking the word of God. I think one of the things I want to say just before I share that is that when I met Gareth Bailey, he came down a couple of months ago and preached here. I met him at Glenridge, and man, can that man talk about Jesus. Half an hour at least, he came and sat at the table we were at, and he was gushing Jesus. And guess what? It wasn't boring. Okay, it was amazing. I was like, man, I want to have some of what he carries. It was phenomenal. And then we spent some time having coffee. And man, this guy's on fire for Jesus. Don't we want to be on fire for Jesus? Hey, we want to be passionate. Hey, full of life. The church should be full of life, friends. Not a stale, boring place. People should be on fire, carrying the fire of the Holy Spirit wherever they go. That's how God has designed this thing to work. Passion flowing through our veins. Amen. So I thought of this scenario when I was thinking about this preaching. You go to a restaurant, and it might be, yourself and maybe, a special occasion, and the waiter brings the menu, and you look at the menu, and you say to the waiter, hey, what's good on the menu? And he points to the steak, and he says, I would really recommend the steak. And you look at the price on the steak, and you go, oh, yeah. I know why you're recommending that, because you want a big tip, because the bill's going to be this big. It's like the most expensive thing. So you question his motive. And then you hear somebody at the table next to you, and you overhear the conversation, and the person says, whoa, that was the most phenomenal steak I've ever had. It just melted in my mouth. Like, I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. Melted in my mouth. It was a melt-in-your-mouth moment. And you're like, okay, something interesting about this steak. And then you hear the person in the other table saying, hey, when I walked in here, I was a vegan. Hey, but no more. That was a phenomenal steak. Sorry to the vegans, but yep, it was phenomenal. So, of course, you sold out. This steak's going to change your life. And so, of course, the point of this is really to say, don't... It might not be the waiter that convinces you or the guy bringing the preach, but it's all of us here. When what comes out of our mouth is the beauty of who Jesus is in the areas of influence, people's lives get changed because you have areas of authority and influence that I'll never reach. So we want to speak faith in how beautiful Jesus is, and it gives us an amazing opportunity to see people come to relationship. What we are passionate about is revealed by what we talk about. Jesus is looking for partners, people like you and me, to build his kingdom. Are we prepared to partner with him in building his kingdom? I love the nods. Beautiful. Not the shakes. Okay, the only time that we want to get the shakes is when the Holy Spirit is on us, all right? So, of course, we're all in different places, and some of us may be in a position where we are engaging and making disciples and some not, but we trust and pray that by the end of the day, we are all positioned to be equipped to make disciples. Unfortunately, the church often doesn't portray what Jesus taught the church to. It says that you just come along on Sunday, you tick a box, and then you go home, and that's it. That's not what Jesus taught. That's not what we're going to teach. We're going to encourage people here to build it into other people so that we can see this thing multiply. So my point three is often we can busy ourselves so much that actually we have no time to do his work. There was a study done by Harvard. You can have a look at this sometime. I don't know, Harvard do some weird studies, but the question that they ask people is, how's it going? And they found what the most common answer was, I'm busy. And the reason I say this, and they actually termed the study the humble brag. They called it the humble brag. You can go and have a look at this. But the reason that people often use that as an answer is because we become so self-absorbed in what we're in, what we're doing, that actually we miss the call of God on our lives. That may be people here today that are too busy. And again, back to identifying what the problem might be is very important, or the order that we can deal with it. So I've got a few little points here. You can establish these things is where you are. Then I've got some antidotes for that as well. So six ways that we can identify if we're too busy. Number one, you're exhausted and overwhelmed. Number two, you have a hard time focusing and enjoying the moment. Is that you this morning? You never really take time off. You often feel out of balance. You feel guilty a lot of the time. And you're filling your calendar with things that you don't even want to do. Is that you this morning? Maybe there's a change of soil that we need to do in our lives. Maybe there's a couple of things on that list that you can identify with. The good news is there's an antidote to that thing. And it can be one of these. Six ways that we can replant ourselves. Spend daily time praying for the salvation and the spiritual growth of friends and family. Regularly engage in spiritual conversation with people that don't know God. View your neighborhood, your workspace, and your friendship groups as a mission field. Look at the lost and broken. Look for a lost and broken person, and have the courage to lead them to the Lord. Share your testimonies, and do it frequently. We've all got multiple testimonies, each one of us. Share them with people that don't know Jesus. Disciple at least one person in their faith at any given time. And of course, if we're not doing that, friends, then hopefully by the end of the series, we're going to be equipped to do that. Jesus has a... In fact, I would love to invite us just to stand as we prepare just to close this message off. And I think what I want to say in closing is that Jesus has a purpose and a plan for each one of our lives. Let's really look at our own heart condition at the moment. Where are you when it comes to the parable of the sower? Do you want to multiply and build God's kingdom in the way that He has planned you to do it? So I want to pray into two things this morning. The first one, of course, because it brings great joy to Jesus, is when we see people accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. So I'd love to pray into that first. There's nothing more important than we can do in this moment, if you have not given your life to Jesus, than to respond to this call. So I'd love to invite us, just with eyes closed, as we hear the strumming of that guitar as it fills the room. So allow God's Spirit just to fill us. Yes, Lord. If that is you this morning and you've never responded to a call to give your life to Jesus, to hand your life over to Him, I want to encourage you to just raise your hand. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah, I want to encourage you to raise your hand up high. so that we can see it. Wonderful. I'm going to ask us all, in fact, just to pray a prayer, but especially for those guys who have raised their hand this morning. Why don't you repeat these words after me? Father, I confess with my mouth that you are Lord and Savior of my life, that you came down to the earth to live as a man. You were nailed to a cross. You died and were buried. And you were raised up to be seated next to your Father, next to our Father. We confess with our mouths that we accept you as Lord and Savior over our entire lives. We thank you, Lord, for the revelation and our understanding that this can never be taken away. Our lives are over. That we will go and live with you in eternity. Wonderful. What a celebration. What an amazing celebration. And I want to do a second call. If you feel that there's a tug on your heart this morning to make disciples of all nations, to make disciples in the areas of influence that you have, but you need a change of soil condition, you need to position yourself over the next 4 weeks to have a revelation of that. I want to ask you to raise your hand just like me. We thank you, Father, for every response this morning with a desire to see your kingdom growing. Lord, we thank you for a change of soil so that your revelation can be planted inside of us and multiply in an amazing way. We want to say bless you, Father. Thank you for the responses, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for your parables, for your explanations. Thank you for positioning us through faith and by faith to accept these things and be positioned to bring the word of God to a lost and a broken world. Thank you, Jesus. In the name, in your mighty name, we say, amen.